Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Amen. I do want to mention, because I know that there are some visiting guests here with us this morning. I'm Pastor Brad, the associate pastor. Pastor Tim couldn't be here today, and Pastor Kate. But they are the pastors of our church, and so I just encourage you, you know, make sure you come on back and meet them. I know that they love family here, and they'd love to meet you. And in fact, if you're looking for a local church, we'd love to have you and be a part of our church. Amen. That's God's highest and best for us, is to each have a church that we can be a part of, where we can be fed the word of God and grow. Amen. Let's not just get born again and stay the same. Amen. And so we just invite you, you know, come on back and hear Pastor Tim, and you know, that'd be a blessing to him, and praise the Lord. So Pastor had asked me to minister the word this morning, so I trust you're here to help me. I trust that you're here to receive what the Lord has for us. I got some things on my heart, but praise God, I'll tell you what, you know, as I was down here, you know, praising and worshiping, you know, praise the Lord, we're living in different days and times right now. There's a press that this world has on it right now, especially in the United States, that I don't ever recognize ever before in my lifetime. As the coming of the Lord draws nearer, it says that the enemy increases his activity and things will get darker and darker, but yet the righteous grow brighter and brighter under the day of salvation. So despite the turmoil and the trial in this world, this is a launching pad for you to grow in strength, to ignite the fire on the inside of you that will be recognizable. And as I was standing there, you have to know that you matter. You matter. It wouldn't be the same without you. There's people that were here thousands of years ago that weren't for this time. You're here for this time. And things would not be the same if you were not here. Well, I'm kind of elderly, and what really could I do? I don't have any significance. No, you're a part of the family of God, and we need you. Well, I'm young, and maybe you're just born again recently, or maybe you've been born again for 50 years, and there's an insignificance in you. Well, I don't feel like I'm really bringing much supply to the things of God on this earth. You matter here today. And we need you. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're moving forward with the things of God. And it's going to take the whole body of Christ, with all the body functioning, to be a proper representation of who Jesus is in this earth. You're a finger, don't try to be the head. Jesus is the head. Don't try to be the arm if you're a leg. You stay in your lane and you bring your supply. And don't say, well, what is it that I have to give? What is it? You're called for this time, so there is importance and call attached to your life. Well, I don't think I've, you know, hung the moon spiritually lately, and I've fallen short, and I'm feeling the pressure and the resistance now in this day and age. You matter. It does not matter the hand that's been dealt to you. Jesus' love towards you trumps everything that this world tries to mold and make you into being. Praise God, and I love it. It's just quickened to me right now that Jesus came from Nazareth. He was from the other side of the tracks. You remember when Pastor ministered that? He was a reject and outcast, socially speaking, and he is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. By what means, God says, should I bring my son? He's going straight from the ghetto. Let it be known that he didn't start on the throne. He was exalted to the throne. Let it be known that whatever you're dealing with right now, it may be a hindrance. It may seem like a stumble. It may seem like every step is resisted. But the day of promotion is at hand, that Father God could receive all the glory. And I need your testimony. It says that after the saints in the tribulation, after the tribulation, it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I need your testimony. The world needs your testimony. You knew the filthy animal you were back then and what pulled you out of the gutter to get you where you are now. I need that testimony, and there's people out there far worse off than where you are. They need to hear what you have to say, because only by the grace of God are you here right now. And you haven't quit. You haven't quit. If you're here right now, you haven't quit. You're moving forward with the things of God, and that matters to Him. You're here right now. Glory to God. Amen. So I have some things on my heart that I want to share with you. And I'm going to lay some foundation first, if that's okay, and then we're going to go from there. But I want to talk to you a little bit today about endurance. Endurance. And if you have your Bibles, if you wouldn't mind turning to Galatians chapter 6, you know these passages. I love everything in the Bible when it talks about the process of faith. It talks about the process of the kingdom of God. It talks that, you know, if you live here on earth, you know, you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just automatically all the promises are made to you in your spirit man through Jesus Christ. But there's a process that you have to go through to be renewed, to be refined, to walk in the fullness of what He has for us. And so I love talking on the process of faith. And you know, over there in Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." And we're talking about a spiritual law here. It says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Well, I'm not getting this, I'm not getting that. Well, did you sow to that? Well, no. Well, then don't be foolish to think you're going to reap something that you haven't sowed. You know, a farmer knows this process. And so when a farmer plants seed in the ground, he knows that there is going to be a harvest one day. He knows that he's going to reap one day what he has sown. In verse 8, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." He says, there is a due season that's coming if we faint not. So in other words, the process has already been set in motion. The discriminating, or that's maybe not the right word. The only factor that would prohibit harvest from coming is you fainting. Because if you plant a seed into the ground, harvest will come in due season. And any farmer knows that when he plants a seed, the next day he doesn't go out and say, "Well, this didn't work. I didn't get my harvest." No, a farmer knows that when he plants a season, there's a space of time before that due season comes where he reaps a harvest. So he doesn't negate or combat the process of the planting season. He knows that it's going to be the sweat off his brow. He knows that it's going to be the long hours to plant the seed, to water the seed, to fertilize the seed in anticipation that somewhere down in the future, there's going to be a due season where he can reap that harvest. Turn with me over there to Mark chapter 4. I love this analogy because Jesus says in Mark chapter 4, we're going to start right there in verse 26. This is what Jesus said in Mark 4, 26. "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed to the ground. He should sleep and rise night and day. The seed should spring and grow up. He knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So he knows, he plants a seed, and it says he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed begins to grow. He knows not how. I don't know how or what steps it's going to take for me to get into the fullness of what I'm believing God for, but I know the process works. I don't know how this healing is going to come into my physical body. I don't know how it's going to manifest. I don't know how these bills are going to get paid. I don't know how this anxiety is going to leave me. But if I give myself to the process, I know the due season will one day show up and manifest itself. I don't know how this all works. I don't know how it is that the words that come out of my mouth are known as seed that the enemy tries to steal. By me speaking faith words, it's going to produce a manifestation of a harvest. I don't know how that works. If I need something, I'll do it, I'll make it, I'll plan it, whatever the case. So Jesus is taking the spiritual law and saying the kingdom of heaven is the one who plants seed in the ground. And first you see the blade, then the corn, then the full corn in the ear, or the ear, then the full corn in the ear. He says there's a process. But what happens oftentimes is people see the blade and they're like, well, that's not enough. That's not what I believe God for. No, that's just the blade. People that understand the process, they don't curse the blade. They bless the blade and start to rejoice and praise because you know what? Nothing was there and now there's something there. So I rejoice not in the fact that I don't see the full harvest. I rejoice in the process by the one who put this law into effect that I'm going to see a due season. I've slept and rise season after season sometimes, and my condition doesn't seem to get better, but somehow seems to grow worse. I've been kicking the same field time and time again, and I'm seeing no results. Then all of a sudden, there's a blade. I don't need just $5. I need $1 million. I don't need just $10. I need, and I'm putting money because we all deal with this. That's your blade. Don't curse it. Start rejoicing in the fact that the process is working and your faith is working. Based on what? Based on you doing everything? No, based on the integrity of the one who put this law in place. There's a law of sowing and reaping, and we have to participate in that law for it to be effective. If I take my Bible, I hold it up. If I let go of my Bible, what's happening? It's hitting the ground. Why? Because there's a law of gravity that is in place. And thank God for the law of gravity being in place here today. Otherwise, we'd all be on the ceiling. That'd make for a very interesting service if we didn't have gravity in effect. But there's a law, and it doesn't matter who you are, what race, what age, whether you're saved, unsaved, Islam, Buddhists, whatever your, the law of gravity is in effect. You get up on the top of this roof, you jump off, you're hitting the ground. There's a law that is in effect. And it's the same thing on a spiritual level, sowing and reaping. You sow a seed, you will in due season reap a harvest if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you don't get distracted to the point that you forgot what you planted. And you abandon and leave your field. That's where the enemy can get you, right there. We're going to talk about something that's going to help us here, and I want to bring some light to some of these things. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's hear what the word has to say about this. I love what it says. We're going to start right there in verse 10. I'm going to make a point later on, but I love verse 10. And it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." I'm telling you what, every one of you being here today, God doesn't forget this. You showing up, bringing a supply to your local church, God does not forget your labor of love. You must love him to be here today. Many, I mean, maybe we'll see who comes in here in a little bit, but I'm telling you what, I'll tell you, that extra hour of sleep is precious, isn't it? That's a precious thing. But I'm telling you, you battle through the snowflakes and the flurries to get here and the conditions because you love the Lord. He doesn't forget that. All of you that serve in any department in this church, he doesn't forget the labor of love. When you make movement on his part, he recognizes, oh, look what they're doing. Well, all I'm doing is shoveling the walk. All I'm doing is standing here directing traffic. All I'm doing is, you know, counting people in the congregation. All I'm doing is serving kids. No, 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 no. That is called a labor of love. And you're sacrificing your time when you don't have to because no one else in this world will even step foot into a church. But you've decided to do that. And that's recognizable to the Heavenly Father. Well, I'm specifying this because sometimes, yes, we get in the routine. Well, yeah, I'm serving on three today. Yes, I'm serving in LA today. Yes, I'm serving in here. And we get into the routine of it, but God notices those things and he doesn't forget your labor of love. And we desire in verse 11 that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. And then he goes on to say that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And it's interesting to me, now I'm just gonna stand on a box here for a second, because it says, he says, be not slothful. Now, if you look up that slothful in the Greek, you know what that word slothful means? Sluggish, lazy, or stupid. Stupid. I like that. I can relate to stupid. You think of stupid, you think of me. No, I'm just joking. Praise God. But I like that because he's saying, be not stupid, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And when he's saying that, it's like, through faith and patience is how the promise manifests. So in other words, don't be stupid to this fact. Like, duh, this is how this works. Yes, it requires your faith, but not only your faith. There needs to be a level of endurance attached to it, because that's what patience, through faith and patience, means. That word patience means endurance. So he's saying, be not slothful, be not stupid to think otherwise. I'm telling you what, praise God for miracles. Praise God for special meetings when ministers have an endowment and they can lay hands and there's an instant manifestation of the power of God. But I'll tell you what, that's the exception, not the rule. The rule is the promises have been established through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and it's gonna require two things, your faith and your endurance. Your endurance. And it's stupid to think otherwise. That's what the word of God says. I just like that word, and so it makes up. Because you can just call me stupid. No, it's stupid to think outside of the process that he's orchestrated, connected with your faith to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. That's it. Amen. And so I want to look at some of these things here today, because people don't like endurance. People don't like endurance. So I was, you know, this is an Olympic year for us this year. And so we don't have cable, so I see sometimes, like I go to the gym throughout the week, and so I can see like highlights. It's just nothing but social media. I mean, you wake up in the morning, I put on, you know, the word of God in my earbuds and try to get into a flow that way, but you're just inundated with all this media and stuff like that. And so normally it's ESPN for me. You know, is what I like to camp out, because I like sports and stuff like that. So I do catch up on some of these things, but everybody loves the sprinter. You got your Usain Bolt, you got your Carl Lewis from back in the day, you got your Tyson Gay, your Justin Gatlin, the woman, you remember Flo Jo, she shattered all kinds of records back in the day. The new woman's phenom in the sprinting is Sha'Carri Richardson right now. She's tearing it up. You know, they're running in the 10s for the 100-meter dash. Everybody loves the 100-meter dash. Name for me one distance runner. And maybe you might, because I know we do have some distance runners here. I'll tell you what, I looked up some of those names just as a remembrance. I didn't even want to look up the distance runner. I don't even care who the distance runner is. After like 2 minutes, you know, they shoot the gun, they're all like this, they're jogging. I'm like, I'm bored. I'm like, I'll see you at the end when maybe someone might have that final kick or something like that. I didn't even care to look them up to tell you, hey, this was the USA's top distance runner. Why? Because everybody likes the explosion of the sprint. They like that explosion. All you see is power. All you see is muscle. All you see is a tremendous display and burst of energy, like a firework bursting in the sky, like a horse right out of the gate. And all you see is just the best of the best. You just see the raw powers. They're tearing up the track, running as fast as they can, and then boom, it's done, gone. But I'll tell you what, there's something different about endurance. They are built different. There are those that can run a marathon. I know there's people here that run and are training for marathon. They like to run in different things like that. I'll tell you what, a marathon is what, 26 miles? Come 20 miles in, you don't see the sprinters. Come 10 miles in, no sprinters. And I have to tell you this, don't mistake endurance for weakness. No one knows the race they're running but you. You're here. Where's all the thousands else that were in this church? I say thousands. Hands down, all the people that visited this church, between 5 and 10,000. We got a congregation core group that if everybody showed up, we'd probably crest the 300 mark. Everybody likes the spectacular show, but when it comes to the endurance, where are you? I saw a good start. But come mile 10, mile 15, mile 20, you look around, where did everybody go? I see one maybe up there. I see one maybe back there. No one likes the endurance side of it. He says, don't be stupid. Faith and endurance is part of it. And don't view endurance as weakness, because I'll tell you what, any marathon runner, they start out there looking good. Come mile 20, 21, 22, 23, you don't look so good. You look like death. You still got this many miles, because at the end of a marathon, after running 26 miles, they're exhausted. They're depleted. Their body has been waxed and been whooped on. Their stamina has brought there. Now we're getting into the heart of it. And that's why I say, don't criticize someone else. Well, shouldn't they be further along than what they are now? Well, shouldn't they be walking into this? Let the process be the process. Don't judge their endurance because they don't look like a sprinter sprinting off the line when they've been putting foot in front of another for the last 10 to 15 years, going through season after season, going through hell on earth. Don't criticize their race. You focus on your race. You build your endurance any way you need to build your endurance. But don't criticize someone else that's in mile 22 or 23, because on the other side of a couple more miles, you're going to see a manifestation on the inside of them because they've stuck to the process. I don't judge anybody. Sin is sin, yes. But I'm talking, there's good, faithful people that are a part of this process somewhere. And I'm not judging them because they're in mile 22 and they don't look so good. In fact, I'm going to hook up my faith with yours to help you along in this process. Oh, come on. Pastor Kate, she made mention, I remember she ran a 5K a while ago. And she brought this up from behind the pulpit. She was ministering one time. And 5K is like 3-something miles. And she was running, and this girl slowed down and she was walking. And so Pastor Kate came upon her and she nudged her and she's like, come on, come on, let's go, come on. And this girl started picking up, and they weren't winning the race. They were just moving forward. I'll tell you what, I need you. I need the one that embraces endurance. Hook me up with you. If you're moving forward, I need you. Why? Because your stability in the midst of hell is very attractive to me. Oh. I'm telling you what. I need that stability. I'm telling you what. There's a fight on the inside of you. Let me, Lord, just help me to say this. You know what I've noticed? The people that have endured the process, there's a refining on the inside of them, that the things that once bothered them are no longer a bother. Because the endurance has been established, that myself right now physically, if I ran to the end of the parking lot, I'd be smoked. I'd feel it for probably the next couple of days in my legs. But those that have had endurance, they'll run to the end of the parking lot and be like, what, that was it? Is that it? This trial has had that profound an impact on you, spiritually speaking, that you couldn't run to the end of the parking lot? Where one that has established that endurance says, this is nothing. You watch the world. If you live in this secular area or secular world and you have a secular job and different things like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, this didn't match up and we didn't meet our quota for this quarter. And this is that's what's troubling you? Is your life over now because of this? That's spoken from one of endurance. They've been tried and they've developed the endurance to withstand. I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice that we were dealing with that. Yeah, but when you were first saved and you were getting the starting block, that was a huge thing for you. But now endurance has taken its place and now it is no longer an issue for you. Those people that have been refined, I'll tell you what, they got to fight to them because they know where they came from. And once they've established endurance, I started lifting weights a little bit, and if you get out for a while, then you go back, those weights are heavy, heavy. Thank God for muscle memory and all that other stuff. But if you go into the gym day one, oh my gosh, this is impossible. Yeah, and what does people do? They faint, they quit. I go to the gym right now, the place is mobbed. Come summertime, see you, where'd they all go? No endurance. No endurance to it. But those people that have been refined by that, their testimony and their endurance gives them their platform. Yeah. And I've seen that because there's a fight on the inside of them that is unmatched. Why? Because they have the endurance. Just like in a boxing match or UFC, there's an endurance there. Yes, there is skill involved. Yes, there is technique involved, but it's whoever can outlast the other guy. And that's the way it is in the distance. It's a match of endurance. It's not a match of who can get there first. There's always a prize attached to the other side of it. And I'm telling you what, you have endurance. You have a testimony. Those that have gone through that refining process, watch out, because it may look like they're not moved, that they're not showing or displaying some excitement or spectacular opinion in voicing this trial that's coming into them. They should have been acting something different, but they're not. They're just steady, straight across the board. And I'm telling you what, you know your testimony and you know your endurance. Forget what everybody else has said. They don't know that you crawled out of the pit of hell swinging a sword and spitting blood. Don't you think for a minute, because you're all put together with your Sunday's best, your shine shoes, your smile on your face, that you don't know how to handle the devil. Because when hell's crashing down, I'm putting one foot in front of another and I will see the manifestation of what God has for me. Don't judge me by my endurance because I'm disheveled right now. You don't know. I'm sticking to the word of God. And people are like, well, man, you don't look so good. How long you been going to that family church? I ain't seen nothing changing in your life. It's all part of the process. If you're being resisted, good. Good for you. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to show you some things here. Turn with me over there to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to look at this. It's right there in the same book. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. It says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That word confidence means all outspokenness. I like this. Frankness, bluntness, assurance, bold. He says, cast that not away. I like that. I like that word, those words, bold, frank, blunt. It means you're not taking crud. You know what I mean? It means you're making a stand and you're real blunt about it. No, I know the word of God and this is the way it's gonna be. You got a problem with that? You take that up with him. I'm standing on the fact that Jesus died not only for my sins, but for my sickness and disease. He died for the pains and anxiety and worry that I may ever face. You got a problem with that? You take that up with him. I'm a part of this process to see the manifestation of it. You got to be bold. You got to be frank. You got to be blunt about it. So it goes on to say in verse 36, for you have need of patience. Wait, no. I need $1 million right now. No. I need a miracle right now. No, you don't. You have need of patience. You have need of endurance. He's saying, be frank and blunt because that'll pay a reward to you. And he says, you don't need a miracle. You don't need $1 million. You know what you need? You need endurance. And that's what he's saying here, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The promise is on the other side of endurance. That's what he's saying here. Yes, of course your faith has everything to do with it. Yes, of course your good demeanor and not living in sin has those things to do with it. But he's saying, you know what your biggest lack is? You need endurance. You started, but then where are you? Where did you go? You need endurance here. And that's what he is stating there. Glory to God. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. And I want to show you some things, how we can move into this endurance. Romans chapter 5. You remember that Pastor spoke on this not too long ago concerning the atonement. Romans chapter 5, right there at the very beginning. He says in Romans chapter 5, 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. The atonement. God is He has righted every wrong on the inside of us. He has put us back into right standing with our Heavenly Father. And verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now look what it goes on to say in verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's go back up there to verse 3. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, or worketh endurance. It says that we glory in tribulation. What? I ain't glory in nothing. Glory in tribulation? You all glory in tribulation. I don't get a glory in no tribulation. What? Glory in tribulation, it says. Knowing this, that tribulation works patience or endurance. See, it's interesting to me, people that understand the process, they glory in tribulation. I would question you if you didn't have tribulation. Because if you have no resistance or tribulation or trial, you're giving way to that which is coming against you. You're not resisting. But if you're resisting and you're taking ground, tribulation is a part of it. So congratulations to you. If you're going through tribulation, you're moving forward and you're taking ground. Because if you weren't, you'd be yielded and going back whenever you get pushed by whatever you're dealing with. When you get pushed by that, you're yielding to it and going with it. When you're starting to get resisted, he's saying, rejoice in that because you're taking ground. Start rejoicing in the fact that you're feeling something. Because if you weren't, somehow you've yielded to that trial or that tribulation. So people that understand the endurance process, they get excited. It's like, you know what? I'm feeling this right now. Why? You're taking ground. You're taking ground. This is a good thing. You're moving forward. People are like, man, ever since I got born again, it's been hell on earth. Good. Good. You're taking ground. That's why you're being resisted. That's how it develops endurance. I go to the gym and I lift the weights. The weights don't lift me. I do that and I embrace the resistance so I can develop. And it's the same thing with trial and tribulation. You're being developed. It's part of the process. It's okay. You're not going to fail. You're not going to go under by it. Understand and rejoice. You know what? I've been, and I tell you, yes, when you're going through some trials, sometimes I just want to quit. I just want to give up. But I'm telling you, stand strong and move forward. In the power of the Lord, in the power of God on the inside, the greater one on the inside of you, start moving forward, start taking that ground. You will feel that resistance, but rejoice in it. Because if you didn't feel anything, I'd be curious whether you're taking ground or not. So that's what he's saying. He says, knowing that tribulation works patience or endurance, and endurance experience, and experience hope, and hope that makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He's saying rejoice whenever you go through trial and tribulation, because it's part of the process. You're enduring these things. You're moving forward. You're getting stronger. You're taking ground. Amen. Amen. Turn with me over there to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to hear what Jesus had to do. You know this verse, in the first couple verses there. Remember what Jesus did. Hebrews 12, the first couple verses we're going to look at there. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, or run with endurance, the race that is set before us. Man, can't it just be a sprint? Man, that's some hard words. Run with endurance. Run with patience. Man, I want the sprint, man. My way right away, just like the drive-thru. Hey, put the order in if it doesn't come. You know, I appreciate the fact that, you know, the distractions that Reverend Greer was talking about, you know, that the average attention span of a person is 8.25 seconds. Why? Because we've been conditioned to those things. You know, you sit there looking at the TikTok, flip, oh, yeah, yeah, ha, ha, funny, yep, flip, flip, okay, yep, yep, that's right, yep, up, flip, flip. If it's not gratifying to us immediately, flip, 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 ah, yeah, that's good, but okay, what's next? The endurance side, that's what's next. That's what you need to grab hold of. Run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. And look what it goes on to say in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, for the joy that was set before him endured. So my question to you is, what do you believe in God for? Well, I ain't believing God for nothing. Well, that's what you're going to get, nothing. And a lot of people start and they get excited and they're running like this. And it's like, well, what do you believe in God for? I don't know. I'm just running. I'm just working on endurance. Well, how do you know if you ever get there? Like, what do you believe in God for that you can see and apply this process? Hey, farmer, what are you going to get for a crop? I don't know. I'm just out there throwing seed. No, they know well, because each seed grows differently in different soil types, different depths, requires different amounts of precipitation to be effective. They know what they're planting. This is corn. This is soybeans over here. Two different things. They're precise in what they're believing God, or I say believing God for, but what they're believing for the harvest to be. In like manner, what do you believe in God for? Well, I don't know. Well, how can you establish endurance in the process if you're not believing God for anything? See, Jesus knew that the destination was that he would go to the cross and die for all of us, to spend eternity with him, to take sickness, disease, poverty, lack, to take the sins of all mankind upon himself. And it said, for the joy that was set before him, that gave him the leverage and the endurance. Even a marathon runner says, hey, maybe it's a personal time to beat, maybe it's a prize at the end. And the Olympians, they don't compete to hope to come in, you know, 51st place. They compete to win that thing. And their endurance established around the prize of it. And it's the same thing. Well, what do you believe in God for? Well, I'm good. I don't have anything that I need. Well, believe for me then. Believe for the person sitting next to you. Believe for the one that just had a bad diagnosis. Believe the one that's going through it right now, and you can bring a supply of faith. This church needs paid off. Well, I'm good. I don't have any financial needs right now. Well, believe God for the rest of the family. If you have it within your means to release your faith for family, wouldn't you do it? My family's sitting right here. If I had anything that I see that they needed, Here you go. I have it. They're that way with me. Yeah, we have it. And we just wanted to bless you with this. If it's financial, if it's time, if it's, I see a need there. I have a supply for that. So I'm going to offer my supply to you. But we like to be selfish. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before me, I endured to the point of death on the cross. In like manner, there was a minister one time. I heard the story of this minister. He had a tremendous healing anointing. And there was a blind woman that was in his service. And so, praise God, when someone blind, that's not a healing issue. That's a creative miracle. You need a creative miracle. If someone is legit blind, they don't need healing. They need a miracle to happen. And so she came up and they were praying. Her eyes were closed. And so this minister prayed with her, released his faith. And he said, can you see? And she started opening her eyes. He says, no. He says, shut your eyes. He says, can you see? And she started opening her eyes. She says, no, shut your eyes. Because you need to see before you see. You need to see yourself walking in health. You need to see yourself walking in provision. You need to see yourself walking in peace. You need to see yourself anxiety and worry free. You need to see yourself walking in boldness. You need to see yourself sitting at the dinner table with the whole entire family that you believe in God for. You need to see those things happen. Why? That's the joy to your endurance. What do you believe in God for? Well, I'm not believing God for anything. Well, come on. Jesus died with a magnitude of provision for his people. Don't be selfish enough that it's because you're in a good spot right now. I'm telling you what, and it's not about this stuff. It's about finding God in the midst of the endurance and in the process. Hey, maybe you don't need it. You're believing for someone else. But when I see the manifestation happen to them, I'm going to rejoice because I had a part of that. And I saw God in a way that I never did. When I was weak in dealing with my own stuff, he became strong and I walked into the fullness of those things. You see God in a way that you never have, but it's going to require something on your part. Endurance. Who for the joy that was set before him endured. What do you believe in God for? And that's the thing. Well, I'm just trying to be a good person. Well, maybe so. Be a good person. Have a level of morality. Have a level of stability on the inside of you that is very appealing to others, that people want and crave that stability. Praise God for that. But I'm telling you, in this race, you better have a motivation fact. Otherwise, well, I'm just running. Well, you're going to get exhausted and burn out. Have direction and purpose behind the direction in which you're running. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of salvation, being exalted and set at the right hand of the Father, with all humanity having their sins and debt paid. That was the joy. He said, Father, he says, if it possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. But then it says here, for the joy that was set before him. In other words, hey, I would beg out of this thing immediately. I'd be the last one that would want to do this. But the joy brought about a level of endurance where endurance began to take over. Oh, in a marathon runner, that's what it comes down to. It's not a test of the muscle. It's not a test of the strength per se. It's a physical event, but it's the endurance. Who's got the endurance to make it to all the way in? Everybody wants to quit when it gets difficult and it gets hard. And then God gets accused. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. You know, I tried, you know, speaking faith for a little bit. I didn't get any results. Didn't work. Little did they know the next week was the blade. Or they saw the blade and be like, oh, that's all I got. Part of the process. Requiring your endurance. I don't know if you got anything here today, but I'll tell you, the word's a blessing to me. No one's exempt. Whenever I preach the word, this is a word for me. And there's everything in this world to try to impede on your endurance. Because man, social media, the appetite for the here and now and quick, if I need something, Amazon, I don't have to leave the house. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just order it. It comes right here. I can do it in 5 seconds, order it. There's no work attached to it. I want it now. Kingdom of God is as a man should cast seed into the ground. It grows, he doesn't know how. That's where the enemy plays. I don't know how this is working. I don't even know if it is working. It's working as part of the process that he set up. So I'm telling you, endure. Endurance, that's vital. It's not something that's out of your grasp or reach. It's on the inside of every single one of us to get up every day and endure. You put one foot in front of another, you rejoice in tribulation. And James, count it all joy whenever you go through various trials and tribulations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience or endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you'll be whole, complete, lacking nothing on the other side of endurance. It's not out of your grasp to do. Endurance is on the inside of you. Praise God for miracles. Praise God when it shows up immediately. Praise God for all that. But like I say, that's the exception to the rule. In the meantime, hey, we're running. We're building endurance. Our day-to-day, what are you doing? Building endurance. And I'm rejoicing in that. Whenever I'm feeling that resistance, I'm rejoicing in it. Praise God. Why? Because I'm taking ground. I didn't feel this type of resistance a year ago, 2 years ago. I'm feeling heavy resistance right now because I'm taking ground. I'm just saying this amongst us all because I know that there's a lot of trials represented here today. I know there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people on the verge of like, you know what, I just want to throw in the towel. I don't want to go this, whether it's leaving the church, whether it's leaving, you know, letting some things down in their relationship with the Lord, whether it's on your job, in your homes, marital issues, problems, different things like that that you're going through. I'm telling you what, you be the stable rock and the display of endurance in that trial. Everything else will submit to it. You have God, the greater one on the inside of you. Everything will bow to the strength and stability that you are establishing. It will bend. Your trial is not bigger than you are. It's not bigger than the God on the inside of you. Your feet have led you there. You stand your ground and you move forward and you begin to rejoice in the greater one on the inside of you. That thing will buckle. That thing will buckle. Otherwise, he's accountable for it. The greater one on the inside, you won't fail. You won't fall short. You'll make it. You'll make it. I know some of you, just to get up out of bed in the morning is sometimes a crushing feat or act. You can do it. You rejoice because you are needed here in this earth. You're needed in this family. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, we thank you for your word. That, Father, we thank you that we can have faith and we can develop and grow in our faith. But, Father, some of those things, and maybe one of the most important things lacking is the endurance side of it. That, Father, when we don't have the instant gratification, that we begin to have the want or desire to faint or fail or to give up. But, Father, we thank you that through this process of seeing the manifestation of your goodness and your promises in our life, that endurance is knit into our spirit. Patience, love, kindness, gentleness, meekness. We see that endurance is in the fabric of our spirits when we've accepted you and become new creations in you. And so, Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you for the understanding of the process that each one represents here today. And we thank you, Father, for you being the greater one and their guidance of stability in their race that they're running. Father, we give you the praise for it, in Jesus' name. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, maybe you're here and you hear a message like this, but maybe you need to know what the very first step is. Well, I'll tell you what, the very first step is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He paid the ultimate price to redeem mankind from all sin, all sickness, all disease. And we have to be in a place of receiving what he's given through Jesus. Well, how do I do that? Well, the Bible makes it very clear. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. It's just confessing him as your Lord and Savior. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. whosoever is anybody that will acknowledge Jesus. People have said out in the world, says, why, if God was so good and so loving, why would he send people to hell? The fact of the matter is God doesn't send anybody to hell. We're already going to hell as a sinner. He sent Jesus so you wouldn't have to. He sent Jesus so you could accept him and be in a place called heaven and spend eternity with him. So if you're here today, you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come down front, say anything to the church or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm just going to simply ask you to lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we will all pray together in this congregation, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. Is there anybody here at the sound of my voice that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Can I see your hand? Is there anybody here? I know it's a good family group here today. Father, I don't see any hands. So Father, I just trust that everybody's walking with you. And Father, for those that are here, if there's anyone that's never made you their Lord, or watching by live stream, Father, I just pray that they would not depart from this earth until they made Jesus their Lord and Savior. Father, we're thankful for you. We're thank you for your great love. Father, we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How about before we dismiss, why don't we all go ahead and stand to our feet and let's love on him for a minute. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we glorify you. You're worthy of all praise, Father. We leave different today. We leave changed here today. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.